Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Welcome to BTR News with Scotty Reed, and on this segment, I will be talking about the current outrage and calls for boycotts against Starbucks for racist treatment of black people and the seemingly lack of outrage that this is one of the many companies utilizing prison slave labor to increase its bottom line. I also want to discuss the reported riot at Lee Correctional Institution in Bishopville, South Carolina, that resulted in 7 dead inmates, and whether or not prison officials or anyone else in government are responsible for maintaining conditions that breed violence and graft and should be brought up on charges of negligent homicide in their failure to provide humane conditions for the people entirely under their control. Joining me in this discussion on these topics is slavery abolitionist Max Parthas, a host and producer of the award-winning New Abolitionist Radio. Thank you for joining me today, Max.
My pleasure, Brother Scotty, certainly. Particularly in these times where so many things are occurring and a proper narrative needs to be applied to it.
I couldn't agree with you more. For those who may not be on social media, or it was not covered by any of the news media that you watch, we want to make you aware that there was a big explosion on social media concerning the arrest of two black men who were sitting in a Starbucks waiting on another person where they were going to discuss real estate deals. Well, the manager of that Philadelphia Starbucks called the police. The men were arrested for causing a disturbance, which is in dispute. But people did not like the treatment of these two black men, and there were calls for boycotts. Max, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I'm only going to be speaking for me, you know, because I have a very unique perspective compared to much of the population. And that's because I'm a slavery abolitionist. So I look at things in different ways. And because of that, it really bothers me every time I keep seeing more stories on this, because this is simply one of the most basic acts of institutional racism. One of the most basic. It happens 1,000 times a day in 1,000 locations in 1,000 different ways. You can find one anywhere. But we seem to have made this the talk of the town when it is the most simple stuff. Instead, we're not paying attention to what's happening with Syria. We're not paying attention to these murders that have occurred in these prisons. We're not looking at the bigger picture, which this one component plays a small part of. And that really irks me, man. You know what I mean? Like, you could just look at this thing and say, you know, this is all connected. And here's the problem. But that's not what's happening. I compared it to a doctor working on someone's ingrown toenail while the patient is dying of a gunshot wound.
Now, The Root also published another article yesterday pointing out another instance of racism at Starbucks. And these are not isolated incidents. And I can faintly recall other similar reports of treatment of people of color, specifically of black people. at Starbucks, but yet people still continue to frequent that business. Now, as you are, I am also a modern day slavery abolitionist. And for years, through our work on New Abolitionist Radio, we have pointed out that Starbucks is among the companies, including banks and other retailers, who utilize prison slave labor. But we have seemingly gotten little outrage, little movement on trying to get Starbucks to either divest entirely from utilizing prison slave labor or requiring their contractors who use prison slave labor to pay the individuals at least the federal minimum wage and not slave wages. Do you share in my frustration that we just can't seem to gain any traction and that people are more outraged by acts of racism than they are by acts of slavery?
Yes, I do agree. I think that racism is a part of slavery. Without racism was created to justify slavery. That's where races began, black, white, red, yellow, brown. They all began as a idea made up out of thin air with pseudoscience to back it up, that somehow, because of the color of your skin, you were a completely different type of human being, and specific traits apply to the melanin or lack of therein. So, I agree with you on that completely, Scotty Reed. But I also would like to point out something else, an argument that would be presented by Starbucks and would also be presented by the many other international corporations who use prison slave labor. On New Abolitionist Radio, we have reported on it before, that they actually pay a decent wage. But they don't pay it to the prisoners, they pay it to the prison. The prison, in turn, keeps all of that money and then gives pennies on the dollars to the inmates. So if you ask Starbucks how much they're paying, they would probably say close to minimum wage for what they're receiving. But then the middleman, which is the prison industrial complex, takes all of that money and keeps it for themselves.
Do we know if that is the case specifically with Starbucks? Because from all that I know, and my knowledge is limited, because there's just not a lot of data out there concerning this. But I have read from several articles that Starbucks uses contractors who then contract with the prisons. So I do believe it is entirely possible that they're paying the prison contractors a certain amount of money. The prison contractors then, you know, go out. I shouldn't say prison contractors. The private contractors then go out and utilize prison slave labor and then pay the slave wages to the victims of modern day slavery. So, I'm saying this web is so tangled up, man, that there's a lot we do know, but there's a lot we don't know. And it would be helpful if people who have access to this information that may work at these companies and institutions would do a WikiLeaks style leak. And we definitely at New Abolitionist Radio, Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Media Project would publish those documents. But Max, I wanted to just read some of the reactions to you. This one person told me today that prison slavery, and we were speaking on Starbucks specifically, is a great resume builder, and that these prisoners ought to have those jobs. Now, again, that has to be, as I told this person, that has to be the most dumbest justification for prison slavery or slavery in general I've ever heard. That's a resume builder. Really? But then you had this person by the name of Emmett T. Vaughn who defended Starbucks by saying thus, let me offer a contrasting thought to the many calling for a boycott of Starbucks as a function of the Philadelphia racial profiling incident. Starbucks needs no defense from me, and let me say that I am at best a passive consumer of their brand. I have to offer these facts that should be considered before we leap into angry outrage mode of let's hit the whole company and make it hurt. As a corporation, Starbucks is one of the most diversity-forward companies in America, and yes, pro-black. To wit, one of the crown jewels, as Magic Johnson built his business portfolio, was granting him several franchise stores in urban communities. Yeah, the hood, which created decent jobs for neighborhoods that were chicken shack heavy in convenience food categories. That doesn't happen in an anti-black folk environment. Ariel President Melody Hobson Lucas sits on their board of directors, and if you know MHL, she keeps their corporate leadership on point, not just on this recent incident. Now, he goes on and drones on and drones on, but you get the gist here. I would also point out that you have black people sitting on the boards of private prison companies. As we pointed out on New Abolitionist Radio, you have black people who are managing some of the largest prison plantations in the United States. And of course, I should not have to point out the role of the black slave catcher, aka cops. What do you think about these responses like this when you hear them?
One of the things that could really drive me crazy, Scotty, is I started paying attention to random people's comments on pages. You know, I do that periodically, and it just reminds me just how little people know about the circumstances of their everyday life. Simple as that. They don't understand. And they make these comments based on logical fallacies and miseducation. So it really is almost a time sink to try to keep up with what they're thinking. You know, as we do on a weekly basis, we educate people. I mean, we share the truth and nothing but the truth to the best of our abilities on these circumstances, which is why from the very beginning I said I didn't even want to be sharing it. I don't even want to be talking about it that much. Once or twice is enough, because I'm going to tell you like it is. You could take yourself a video camera, go to any fast food restaurant in America where people come on in and out every day, and within 24 hours, you would have an act of racism that you could share with people. Within 24 hours. This is a daily occurrence. Like you said, the same place. Just a day later or 2 days later, another man, black man, is denied service or denied to use the bathroom because of apparently the color of his skin when his white counterpart was coming out the bathroom and never purchased a thing.
Starbucks came out today and said that it would close all of its U.S. stores on the afternoon of May the 29th for racial bias education for its employees, the company said in a statement. Now, my comment on that, Max, and I definitely want yours, is that's a good start. That's good company policy to have anti-racist training, okay? Then people can't make excuses, not that they need excuses, but then you can say, well, you received this training, you're in violation, you know our policy, now we're going to hold you accountable by firing you. So I agree with that. But again, we're dealing with a symptom. Calling the police, those two men could have ended up on a prison plantation packaging coffee for Starbucks through its contractors, or they could have ended up dead if it had been escalated by a slave catcher. So I'll say that this is, and I know public relations figures into it, but this is a good way to address it. Close all your stores, have anti-racism training, and then make sure that you hold people accountable in the future. But again, I tweeted at Starbucks Coffee on Twitter and will also send an email to their president and ask them to consider divesting from using prison slave labor or make sure that the prisoners are paid a federal minimum wage. Your thoughts, Max?
I agree with you on that, Scotty. And, you know, I'd just like to point out some things about Starbucks. Starbucks has really went out of its way to hire veterans, to hire the youth, to contribute to the communities that they are a part of. So I got to give them props for that. But what I can't give them props for is what you just mentioned about them using prison slave labor. And if we're able to influence them to divest from that and to discontinue using that, that's a hell of a victory for us. And it adds to the conversation overall about modern day slavery and human trafficking. But here about this today, where they was talking about they're going to have this one day of training on May 29th, that's just pure PR. If they really meant to make some changes, they would have been saying, we're going to have our first of an annual training course on May 29th. Because you could train the people who are employed right now, but the turnover rate is going to get rid of a lot of them in just a year or two. And nobody's going to be left that had any kind of training, just a few. So really, that's just PR campaign.
I tend to agree with you, but it is training nonetheless. So, you know, nobody going forward be able to make that excuse. But all of this means nothing to me when you still have the prison slavery component as part of your business practice. Because it is my opinion, often racism represents the trees that prevent us from seeing the forest that is slavery. We focus a lot on these little individual acts of racism and don't see how they fit into the bigger picture of funneling bodies into the prison slave system.
Right. A million people are employed within the prisons doing one job or another right now of the total prison population. That's the estimates that I've heard over time. And Starbucks is not unique in their use of prison slave labor. McDonald's uses it, and it has cost them a huge amount of money and PR because of that. Wendy's uses it. Other restaurants that provide things like chicken, for instance, a lot of these chickens come from chicken farms, which are manned by prisoners. The same thing with eggs come from farms that are manned by prisoners who are getting paid pennies on the dollar. One of the things that I've done throughout my life is to make personal choices. I don't, you know, get into the boycotts because I'm not trying to get everybody to do something. If you know it's right or wrong, you should be willing. Simple as that. And buying services or products or goods from companies that use slavery is not what I want to do at any time. So I don't buy from McDonald's. I don't buy from Wendy's. I don't shop at Walmart and things like that. Anyone that uses prison slave labor. And you can get an entire list of companies, and you'd be surprised who is on that list simply by Googling prison slave labor in the U.S. or companies that use prison slave labor. The information is not hidden. It's very easily found with a simple Google search.
Well, Max, I want to transition, but still stand on the topic of prison slavery. Yesterday morning, I started seeing reports of a disturbance at this prison down there in South Carolina where you are, at Lee Correctional Institution in Bishopville, South Carolina, that resulted in 7 inmates being killed. It's being described as a riot over territory within the prison and over contraband and making money. What are your thoughts on this incident before I give you mine?
Well, I've been monitoring what's happening here in the state I live in for quite some time. And we just came out of a period which was the highest rate of police homicides in the history of South Carolina. They were killing 15 and 18 people a year. And as you remember, one of the young white fellow, I forget his name, Scotty, you may remember, who was shot for smoking weed on his first date with his girlfriend in a restaurant here in South Carolina. So they kill like 18 people.
Yeah, and Zachary Hammond.
Yes, exactly. Zachary Hammond. Zachary Hammond, 16-year-old boy, shot him dead. So we see a lot of that happening here in South Carolina in this record that's with police homicide. But we have to also remember that this is still the same custody of the same group of people. Whether you're shot dead in the streets or killed in a prison by other inmates, you're in the complete custody of the same people. The law enforcement and the prison personnel, the guards who share the same union, basically. So you're in the same custody of those people. And I don't know whose bright idea it is to keep putting these rival gang members together in the same area. I don't know whose bright idea it is to have one single guard managing 2 tiers by himself. I don't know whose bright idea it is to not even know that half of the inmates in your possession right now are armed with deadly weapons. But apparently somebody made all of these decisions. And this is basically where you're allowing people to die is a form of murder. And Scotty, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that how it works? Because we just talked about a case where a young kid who was involved in a robbery never fired a shot, but one of his cohorts was killed by the police. And now the courts are holding this kid responsible for the murder that the police committed. So, you know, if you're in police custody, You're in there. They own you. You're state property, and anything that happens to you is their fault. So this is like the third group of killings just since 2017 started, and we're up to 20 deaths now. So if you add that and the police deaths, we're nearly 40 people dead in police and prison custody.
You know, I want to share a tweet because it got me to thinking along legal lines. And this tweet comes to you. I probably should have had it up already, but I should be able to find it quickly. This tweet comes to you from, and I believe prisoners may be in control of this Twitter account, or in the very least, prison advocates. But they asked a question on Twitter, and I thought it was a very good question. And let me see if I can. Okay, slavery prison. Okay, here it is. Let me pull up this tweet. And this is what the person said. They said, "No one has figured it's not staff levels, but lockdown and treatment as animals. No movement, no education, long sentences, no humanity brings high violence. South Carolina Department of Corrections is officially the most violent in the nation. Anyone paying attention?" And I have to agree with this person, is that when you create an environment and you don't provide for the safety of those under your charge that may fall victim to the environment that you have created, then you are responsible. And that this environment, just like we see out on the streets, you come up in a certain environment, you stay all day taking in the wrong type of stuff into your spirit, like gangster music, where you're talking about killing people and selling dope and all that kind of stuff, then it's likely that you're going to imitate your atmosphere. I think Prince said that a long time ago. Children only imitate their atmosphere. If you create an atmosphere in which people are treated like animals in the cages, it shouldn't be surprising when animalistic behavior surfaces. When you are depriving these people of any kind of funds so that they can have a decent meal, getting something from the canteen, or any of their basic needs, then you create a need for them to make money any way they can, whether that's through contraband and well, and then that produces rivalries, just like we see out on the street. The number one driver of the violence we see in the streets is drug prohibition and these gangs battling each other for control of the market. It's no different than the governments who go to war with each other over resources, over territory. We're seeing the same thing here, just at a lower level, at a personal level, and we're seeing it in the prison. So I have to agree with this person. Now, I don't know. I think murder would be a strong charge. We'll have to look at what South Carolina has in terms of first degree murder, second degree murder, third degree murder. But in the very least, I would charge them with negligent homicide. I would charge the warden and any of the officials over the entire corrections department all the way up to the governor with negligent homicide in the deaths of these seven inmates and any other inmates who have died this year or any past years while under the correction, under the control of the state. Your thoughts, Max?
Well, that's basically what I said a little while ago. I believe that is the case, that the Department of Corrections is responsible for these murders. And I want to point something else out, and then I want to add a quote to it all. If you read the records of the people who were killed there, you'll see that seven of them apparently were involved in violence and things like that. But one of them never actually did anything like that to anybody. I believe he was involved in financial issues, so crimes of debt. And we know that one in eight people who are in South Carolina jails right now are there for child support. So if you're a person who has not committed any major crime and you're there to do your time, which is 3 or 5 or 6 or 10 years or whatever it is, and get out, imagine being in this type of environment where you're surrounded by murderers and killers. You know what I mean? You're in there for tax evasion. and the guy sleeping next to you killed four people. You know what I mean? And your life is likely going to get lost at some way along here. Either that or you play the game. So you become one of them. You might have went in there for tax evasion. You might have went in there for non-paying of child support. You might have went in there for an argument with your spouse or whatever it may be, or threatening things. But you're going to end up being institutionalized. And when we talk about people being institutionalized, that's how it happens right there. And your life becomes, there's a percentage that you may die at a scale that never existed in your life before. And you're in the complete custody of someone who is supposed to be monitoring that and making sure you don't die, and you just pay your dues and get the hell out. And I want to read a quote from a correctional institution officer, Patrick Lundgren, who is in Ridgeville, South Carolina, WCSC. He said, "You control every part of their life, and if you're doing it right, they can't do anything to you." That's the goal. You're supposed to control every part of their life. But if you got one guard handling two tiers, that's not what you're doing. You're just allowing things to happen, and you're doing it for what? So you can save a few dollars, so you don't have to hire more guards, so you can take that money and use it for other things? That's what I think right there, Scotty.
I think the abolition of slavery would eliminate the need for so many prisons, and also it would address your quote unquote understaffing issues, because a lot of people do not want to be prison guards. Here in North Carolina, they have a shortage of prison guards, and I'm proud of the people in North Carolina for not wanting to be plantation overseers, putting their lives even at risk for a corrupt system that's still practicing slavery. Max, as we conclude, is there any final comments you would like to leave with our listeners?
Just simply say, please pay attention to the bigger story. Everything is connected, and there is no such thing as an outside agitator within the borders of the United States of America. We are all connected. As we say on New Abolitionist Radio, Ferguson is America.
Thank you, Max, and thank you to all the listeners. Make sure if you find this podcast constructive to share it with others, and also make a contribution to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. This has been Scotty Reed of BTR News reporting. Support independent media today by giving a tax-deductible donation to the Black Talk Media Project, which has been providing public digital media since 2008.